You may be seated.
Our message this morning is titled Father's Day. And the text is from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You know, we have dysfunction in almost every family. I think if you can think back upon it, as you go through your family or as your relation goes, there's probably dysfunction in almost every family because we are sinful by nature. This is perhaps why God commands us to honor our fathers and mothers in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. This is his fifth commandment. First four commandments are about himself, actually, and then the fifth one starts about honoring our fathers and our mothers. Today we honor our fathers. Fathers are providers and protectors for their families. But fathers also have a very important role in the spiritual lives of their children. Children imitate and model their behavior from their parents. I have read that a pastor, after years of counseling, church members said that fathers hold the key to their children's spiritual lives. He said the best way to raise an agnostic or atheist was for the father to pray before meals, practice daily quiet times with an open Bible, tithe the first pay period of every church, go to church every Sunday, and then be harsh at home. The pastor said growing up in a family with an unkind dad who claimed to follow Christ motivated children to run from the church. The inconsistency would cause children to question their Heavenly Father's love, their everlasting love. No human father is perfect. With the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and godly mentors, we can become successful dads. A good father is to reflect the Heavenly Father's love. First, we need to love the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. First, we need to love them. And we need to help our children to trust in Jesus Christ and help them to understand that He's the center of their lives. But we must remember also that this is all by the grace of God, the grace of God, our Heavenly Father. God has given us many examples of godly men in Scripture and how they fell short at times. What makes a great man of God? It's having a great faith in Jesus Christ and a great faith in God the Father. Abraham was a man of God. But early in his life, he went ahead of God and conceived a child with his handmaiden, Hagar. Later on in life, when he was in Egypt, he feared for his life. And so what he said, that his wife was actually his sister, out of fear. Abraham fell short of God. But he repented and turned to God. And when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said that he would be the father of many nations. In fact, he's the father of all those who believe. In Genesis 15:6, it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and we need to believe God today and believe in Him and His Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jacob, a man whose name was Israel, which was changed to Israel after he wrestled with the pre-incarnate Christ, was known as a deceiver. And that's what the name Jacob means, deceiver. He went ahead of God and deceived Esau of his birthright. But he also later repented and turned to God. We think of King David, who stands out in Scripture, who lusted after Bathsheba. Committed adultery and committed murder. But David repented of his sin and turned to God. We think of Peter, a leader of the disciples, who denied Christ 3 times. But Peter later knew Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. We can see this, that we all sin and fall short of God. But we have a Father that loves us with an everlasting love. No one is perfect. What made these men great men of God and great fathers, first of all, was that a great man of God is humble. He confesses his sin and changes. And he has a faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Two, a great man of God knows God forgives and makes everything new. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things have passed and become all things have become new. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we are a new creation. We are born again. And we are new. We need to realize that. Don't let the old things of your past get in the way. They have been forgiven. God forgives us and loves us with everlasting love. Thirdly, a godly father knows he will make mistakes and can apologize when he does. Four, a godly father can forgive his children and love them. And five, a godly father is grateful for all that God has given him. A godly father is grateful and has a thankful heart. So rise up, men of God. Live boldly. Stand out and be different from the crowd. And live holy lives. Great men of God are different from the world. They have a great faith in Jesus Christ and love him. And they love their Heavenly Father, Almighty God. Children may be the most important disciples of father mentors. And they mentor them through love, knowing their Heavenly Father. As Myrna was packing some books a while back, she came across a little something my daughter gave to me when she was 17 years old on Father's Day. She made a little acronym for the letter father, for the word father. It said, you are my father. F stands for forgiving. A for always there. T for tenderhearted. H for happy times. And E for eternally loving. And R for ready to hug. She finished with, I am so thankful and blessed that God has gave me you for a father. We do touch our children's lives. Michelle, my oldest daughter, on the day that she was married, she gave me a tie, and on the back of the tie it said, I thank you for walking beside me and walking alongside me today and every day. I thank you for this precious moments that we can share together, she said. That's what she wrote in the back of the tie, how thankful and how gracious it was that we could walk together in special times. As we honor the men in our lives, your fathers, grandfathers, fathers-in-law, remember to show love, joy, and gratitude for all they have done. Give them a hug and tell them you love them. Daily lift them up in your life, in your prayer lives. Show the grace of God to them as they walk in faith. We all need to live by Ephesians 4:32, one of my favorite verses. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven us. The Father, Almighty God, has forgiven us in Christ. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, He atoned for all of our sins. Every one of them. He atoned for the sins of the world. It says in 1 John 3:2. He died for the sins of the world, it says. He atoned for all of our sins. Past, present, and future. We need to understand that we have an everlasting God. Every day is a day to remember our Heavenly Father. Do not forget what it says in Malachi 2:10. Do we not all have one Father? Has that one God created us? And in James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God has blessed us. Our Father in heaven has blessed us and blessed us, and we are to be thankful and grateful. That's why I love that song this morning. Every breath that we take, we're to be thankful for. And so often we forget. There is nothing more important than for us fathers to spend our time loving our wives and loving our children. By teaching them of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But too often we fall short. How can we do this? First, by loving our Lord Jesus Christ and God, our Heavenly Father, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. As it says in Matthew 22:37, in the first great commandment, Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all of your mind. In the book of Mark, it adds, with all of your strength. But we do fall short, don't we, at times? Let us come back and love our Almighty God in Jesus Christ. Knowing that we have a God that loves us with an everlasting heart. Just as we nurture our relationships with our children, we get a glimpse of the Heavenly Father's love, longing to be in a relationship with us. Do you know that? God the Father and God the Son want to be in a relationship with you. In 1 John 3:1 it says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Think about that. What love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God. It is so precious. God calls us His own children. How is it possible that God could allow us, poor, wretched sinners, to be called children of God? It's only possible through faith in Jesus Christ, whom the Father sent to die for our sins. Through His Son, God brings us into a right relationship with Him. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. That's what Jesus said. This is the will of my Father. It's the will of Almighty God that we should have eternal life through faith in Jesus. Remember that. Praise God for that. God loves you with an everlasting love. He wants everyone to know Him, to know Jesus, and to know the Father. We come helpless and unworthy. But God hears us in His love. He draws us to Himself. where we can experience the ultimate relationship between a father and his children. I have a poem here I wrote down a while back, and I don't know who wrote it, but it's special. It's called A Father's Day Present for God. I have a heavenly Father. He owns the earth and the skies. I have a righteous Father. He never cheats or lies. I have a loving Father. His love is strong and true. Yet now that it is Father's Day, I don't know what to do. I'd like to give a present that means an awful lot, but there just isn't anything my Father hasn't got. And so there's just one present, as far as I can see, that God, my Father, most desires. And that, of course, is me. Did you hear that? The one thing that Almighty God desires is you. That's what He desires. He desires your heart. He desires your soul and your mind and all your strength to love Him. Have you made that decision to belong to the family of God? Do you believe in Christ Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, and as the Son of God? This is the day and this is the time. Give your Heavenly Father the ultimate gift on Father's Day, and that of a surrendered life to Him. Believe in Christ and surrender everything to the Father. Surrender everything to Him. We need to surrender everything to Him and to watch Him work in our lives. I want to share a little experience to you. The first week I was off this last, during the first week of June, I was on vacation. I went to Alaska. It was a bucket list of mine. You know, I was thinking a while back, and who knows how long we have to live. So one of my bucket list things was to go to Alaska and go halibut fishing again and salmon fishing. I did that about 15, 20 years ago when Myrna and I earned a free trip to go through my insurance company. So I went fishing then and really caught a little itty bitty halibuts. Didn't mean anything. So I went there. I went there with a friend of mine from my last church. He's the vice president of the church, or head of the council anyway. We went there and we met two other people and we went on a boat 3 different days, the four of us. First 2 days we filled out, you can only get one salmon, it had to be a certain length. We filled out of our salmon, our halibut, and some rock bass or something like that. Some bass. And we got our ling cod. You can only get one a year. It had to be a certain length. The last day we went, the wind came up. It was 20 miles an hour. It was blowing. And didn't feel comfortable. We were in a 30-foot boat, and it had big side rails on it, but it had no place to sit. Well, it had a cabin, but no place to sit while you were fishing. So I wasn't real comfortable. In fact, we were about a quarter mile offshore, but it was, so we were out of the wind a little bit, even though it was coming from that direction. We had 2.5 to 3 foot plus waves. I wasn't real comfortable. So we had on the side 2 downriggers. With the waves were down 150, the lines were down 150 feet each. And we were taking turns to catch up when a fish came onto a line. Each one took a turn. My first turn, I caught 2 small of a salmon. It was only 27 inches. There's a good point to this message in a second here. I was the only one who hadn't caught a salmon. We had caught some big salmon that day, probably 15, 20 pounder. Just dwarfed everything we had caught before. So we had these 2 lines, and I thought, I don't want to be here any longer. So I prayed to myself, Father in heaven, Almighty God, I pray to you in Jesus' precious and holy name that you bring a large salmon to me so that we could be done. Bring a large salmon. Within 30 seconds, the guy changes the bait that had been catching salmon. And I thought, well, I'll look over this way. Within 2 minutes, maybe less than that, I was looking this way and the line went off on the right. The guy gave me the rod and he says, well, make sure you square yourself up to this fish. And as I was bringing this fish in, and it happened within a minute to 2 minutes from the time I prayed. The fish went sailing across the water about 100 feet out. You could see it just at the top of the water. That's what salmon do. Finally, I got the salmon into the boat, or into the next to the boat. And it was going down and taking a line out. He loosened the drag up several times because he had changed. Every line he had 80-pound test on. This one had 20-pound test. He loosened the drag several times. It went out. Finally, he gets to the shore. He nets the fish, and he asks somebody else to hold on to it. Then he goes and gets the grappling hooks because it took two of them to bring it up. It was about a 35-pound salmon. I mean, it was big, and the guide says, I want a picture of this one. He wanted a picture of this one because it was the biggest one he'd seen. And so there's a guy videoing this with his camera, and he says to me, what do you have to say? And I said, it is God-given. He says, what do you have to say? And I said, it's God-given. And that was the end. God answered that prayer, and that's why we need to turn everything over to him. Everything. It was God-given. My prayer for each and every one of you is that you surrender everything to the Father, yourselves, your spouses, your children and their families, your friends, the people you meet, everyone in your daily walk, and the plans that you have, and let God lead you. It is so important that we come to understand deep within us that we have a God that loves us with an everlasting love. And you need to, and we all need to surrender everything to him. He worked powerfully in that example of prayer. In less than 2 minutes, he answered it. Let God lead you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we just praise you and thank you that we can come to you, that we can give you everything, our heart, our soul, and our mind, and of all our strength. And Father, we do thank you for the work that Jesus has done in paying the price for our sins, atoning for all of our sins, Father. We pray, Father, that you will allow us to understand that and understand your great love for us and how the Holy Spirit has worked in our lives and convicted us of sin and brought us to faith in Jesus. Father, we do pray for each father here today that you would bless them, bless their families, and help them to be the spiritual leaders that you want them to be. Father, we just thank you for your everlasting love. And we pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will help us to turn everything over to you. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.